Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Chauncey Show, where we're always right and never left. We put God first and politics second. I'm your patriot host, Chauncey Brown. Welcome to the show. We are honored, blessed, and proud to have in the studio this evening State Senator from Oklahoma, Shane Jett, a dynamic individual in Oklahoma, spearheading many things in his state. He was first elected to the House of Representatives from 2004 to 2010. He now represents the Senate District 17, which includes parts of Oklahoma and Pottawatomie counties. Okay, he'll straighten me out on that later, the Senator. And the Shawnee Republican grew up in Tuscaloosa, working in his father's auto repair shop, later earned a degree from Oklahoma Baptist University. International business. Jett is a former lieutenant in the U.S. Navy and is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation. In addition to serving as state senator, Jett is the former CEO of a financial institution that makes commercial loans from Native American businesses focusing on economic development and job creation in the state. 2016, President Donald Trump appointed Senator Jett, the U.S. Treasury CDFI Fund Community Development Advisory Board, where there he served as chairman. On multiple occasions, the senator has been invited by the Trump administration to share his expertise in Native American military affairs. Most recently, he participated in a conference for contemporary Native American military veterans at the White House. While working in Brazil, Senator Jett met the love of his life, Anna, a Christ-centered Baptist girl that had her heart set on a mission work in foreign countries. Anna worked as a public school teacher in Brazil and worked with children with disabilities in the United States. They've been married since 2001. Anna became a natural citizen in 2007. They have three lovely daughters, Raquel, Esther, and Sarah. I am honored and humbled to have you here, Senator Jett. As I mentioned in the beginning, we have some things in common that I didn't realize. I'm also a Native American from the Lenape tribe up in Northeast, which is very, very interesting. And as well as I didn't serve in the military, but I was raised by a veteran. I wish I would have gone into the military because that was tougher. Without any further ado, let me welcome State Senator Shane Jett. Senator,
Thank you, John. It's an honor to be on your show. I think I was on mute, but it's glad to be on your show and look forward to the evening conversation.
Thank you so much, Senator. You have spearheaded some initiatives in your state, and we'll get right to it. You spearheaded being against critical race theory. Let's talk about you spearheading that, because this is not only an Oklahoma issue, this is a national issue, as well as a spiritual one. Talk about how you began, what you think about critical race theory, and how you began pushing back and eventually getting your bill passed in the Senate.
Certainly. Well, Chauncey, before I was elected to the state Senate, I served 6 years in the Oklahoma House of Representatives. I was elected at the age of 29. And then I left for about a decade, and I was working in Indian country doing finance, economic development finance, and that's how I got appointed to U.S. Treasury by Donald Trump. So my focus was primarily on raising capital and lending to Native American-owned businesses. And once I left the state legislature, I saw that we had a supermajority in the House and Senate of Republicans, and I think we're in good shape. I'm focusing on creating jobs in Oklahoma. So that was my focus. And I raised about $45 million in about 8.5 years for the Native American tribe I was working for, which, by the way, is Potawatomi, very difficult to pronounce, Potawatomi. And so I was working for the Potawatomi Nation, and we became the largest Native-owned CDFI, Community Development Financial Institution, in the United States during that period. So when I threw my hat in the ring in 2020, this was before the election debacle, before we had a coup to take over the nation, I thought my focus is going to be to join a supermajority, run conservative legislation as needed, but mostly focus on job creation. But as I watched our country unravel, and went through that election process, I began to realize we weren't in as great a shape as I had initially believed. And so one of the things that really started the conversation for me, I'd been watching statues being pulled down of Confederate leaders, of Abraham Lincoln being called a racist, and that just seemed bizarre to me. And, watch the occupation of Portland, Oregon, and all these weird things happening. And while I'm thinking it's bizarre, I really hadn't connected the dots yet. And so when I threw my hat in the ring, my wife says, you're going to have to take a position on Black Lives Matter, which I didn't have to take a position as a leader of a financial institution. That wasn't an issue. And I said, well, I will do that. And I said, initially, I go, well, Black lives do matter. I'm a born-again Christian. I believe that when Christ is lifted up, he'll draw all men into him, black, white, and everything in between. And so I said, but I'm also an intelligence officer. I know how to read. I'm going to go read up on it, and I'm going to make my statement on Black Lives Matter. And so I started reading straight to their website, and I started reading. And they're like, we believe all Black Lives Matter. I'm like, yes, me too. And I kept reading, and then it was we believe in the desolation of the nuclear family. We believe in gay, lesbian, transgender, and all of a sudden I'm like, hey, wait a minute, where are all the black lives we were fighting for? All of a sudden we're down in the weeds with LGBTQ ideology, and denouncing Western culture and American fundamental values. And I looked at my wife and I said, this isn't about black lives. This is a Marxist front organization. And that's what really opened my eyes, is when I started focusing on that. So then I get elected, right? And that was in probably April, May. I get elected in November, and it's time, the election's behind me. I've got to run some legislative initiatives. So I start calling some of my more prominent members in my Senate district and say, hey, what are some of the things that we need to be focusing on? Is there anything I need to know from your community? Well, the mayor of Luther, Oklahoma, said, you need to make it illegal to teach CRT in our public schools. And my wife and I, we homeschool, so we didn't have to worry about CRT coming from my wife teaching Marxism ideology in our living room or around the kitchen table. So I literally said, "What is CRT?" And she said, "It's critical race theory." And I said, "What is critical race theory?" This was in 2020, November. And she said, "Hold on. I'm going to send you some articles. Read the articles and call me back." I called her back an hour later, and I said, "This is horrible. This is what they're building Black Lives Matter on, correct?" She says, "Absolutely." And I said, "This is a communist ideology designed to cause young people in the public school to believe, one, that the United States is fundamentally flawed as a government, was designed to promote racism, that the United States is a white supremacist organization, and that if you're white, you're evil, and if you're black, you're a victim of the whites." And I said, "This is pitting Americans against Americans along a Marxist ideological rift." And she says, "Correct." And she said, "It needs to be removed from public schools." And I said, "I'm on it." And so I went to the legislature, and instead of saying you can't teach critical race theory, we dissected point by point all of the critical race theory elements that were particularly destructive and said you cannot teach children that one race is superior to another race. And you cannot teach children that one gender is superior to another gender. What we began to dismantle critical race theory by its concepts, not by its title, because I knew if we said you can't teach critical race theory, there would be those who are wanting to push it who would come in and name it something else and keep on teaching the racist ideology. And so we pushed that forward. It did not get a hearing in the supermajority of the Oklahoma State Senate, the Republican supermajority, and that was eye-opening for me. And so we started pushing out to churches, Rotary clubs. I spoke at chambers of commerce, and I got an interview on Glenn Beck's show on The Blaze. And that was kind of the turning point. That's why I value so much the opportunity to speak to you and to others that are podcasting, because we get to bypass the media blockade on information and get information out to grassroots Americans that are really living this bizarro world of information control and suppression. So once that happened, the grassroots began to light up the phones at the state capitol. They were calling their senators demanding, one, why they weren't hearing the bill, two, why they weren't co-authoring, and three, why were they not voting to stop this racism ideology being taught in the public schools. And so that was the first initiative. My bill ultimately did not get a hearing. We took my language, added it to another House bill en route from the House of Representatives, House Bill 1775, and got the bulk of my language passed, and we made it illegal to teach racism and Marxist ideology in the classrooms. So that was last year's battle from 2021, and that was my first big legislative push. Was the result of conversations with constituents who are watching this unravel in the public school systems here in Oklahoma.
Thank you so much, Shane. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be back, and we're going to continue our conversation with Senator Shane Jett about critical race theory.
Another important issue facing Arizona is election integrity. And regardless of how you feel about past elections, we must move forward with legislation that ensures that our voting system is safe and fair, because that's the only way we can restore the Arizona Republic.
Vote Neely for governor in the August 2nd primary election, paid for by Neely for Arizona.
Welcome back. This is the Chauncey Show. We're always right, never left. We put God first and politics second. I'm your patriot host, Chauncey Brown. Senator, as I was listening to you talk about critical race theory, I am a man of deep faith, as well as you are. And I am reflecting on my religion, on my morals, and on the law of what our Father has laid out for us. Critical race theory goes against everything that I fundamentally believe in and stand for within the Bible. And as I'm listening to you share and express your passion against racism, against communism, and a Marxist ideology, I reflect that this time we're going through a spiritual battle, and I know that you are well aware that we're going through a spiritual battle right now against good and evil, and the time is at hand. And our Father is looking to us to see who is going to step up. Like just before when they crucified Jesus, He's looking to see who's going to step up in this critical moment in history against the law that God has laid down for us. And we, as a people, as a nation, have gotten away from God. And for me, it appears that's one of our biggest challenges in our country today. This country was founded on Judeo-Christian values, and we are so removed from those values within the framework of our educational system, our political system. It's no wonder why we are where we are today. But I will let you continue talking about critical race theory. Just the thought of it baffled me when I first heard it. Critical race theory, like, what does that mean? Because to me, there's only one race, the human race, and how could you think about yourself? Critical race theory, that's what I thought it was. But what do I know? And that they first introduced it in higher education. But as you spoke about and highlighted the things that were within the framework of CRT, them trying to indoctrinate our children in public schools across the country when our children are graduating in most inner cities at a 40, 50, maybe 60% rate who can't read and write. We have kids graduating public schools and high school with no life skills. They don't have a balance of checkbook, but they're worrying about teaching the oppression over the pigment of one person's skin over another. Excuse me. That goes against the law of God. And God will not be mocked. Whatever a man reaps, he should sow. And the courage that you have shown to stand up and push back shows the type of morality and integrity and person that you are. I applaud you for that. Now, what do you think, now you did it on the state level and you dissected it, and you pulled it apart. Has anyone duplicated what you've done in other states that you're aware of?
So I don't have the list of states who have followed suit, but I know I got contact from Pennsylvania, people that were interested in using our language as modeling language. I believe Montana also was looking at running critical race theory. I know a number of states have, but you can imagine it's going to be the red states, not necessarily the blue states that are doing it, because the left and the Democratic Party has basically allowed – Marxist ideologues to gain control of the narrative, and that's really what's going on. And this is, I mean, this isn't new, Chauncey. This is our generation is facing the new Marxist attempted dismantling of the United States, because as long as the United States exists as a constitutional republic that is based on a model of leadership that is biblical, it will always be conflict with the communist Marxist dictatorship where people are controlled by an elite or by a group. And so this is a constitutional republic repudiates a control mechanism, whether it's national socialism known as Nazism or international socialism known as communism. Both socialisms are designed to control people. And our system of government is designed for the people to control the government. And therefore, our form of government is locked into a mortal struggle with any totalitarian ideology, the most recent of which is Nazism that our grandparents' generation put to bed, and communism, which we saw our grandparents in the Cold War end with the toppling of the Berlin Wall. And unfortunately, we thought, our generation, me and you, Chauncey, we thought, we mm-hmm. won. Communism has been repudiated. The USSR mm-hmm. is no more. That threat of nuclear holocaust is behind us. And what we didn't realize is all those Marxist sympathizers and apologists were marching off to academia, where they began training the next generation of Marxist apologists and stooges in our classroom. They were talking to our children about what was wrong with capitalism, what was wrong with the Constitutional Republic, because basically critical race theory is built on critical theory. And this happened in 1989 with the publication mm-hmm. of Kimberly Crenshaw's book. She was UCLA and I think Columbia professor, and she speaks here recently in Oklahoma pushing critical race theory, where she basically takes critical theory, which is a Marxist technique of taking any government that is not a Marxist ideologically aligned government and begin criticizing it, critical theory, criticizing it, highlighting all of its flaws to undermine confidence in the citizens so that they will vote to give up that form of government, to replace it with one that can provide the equality, this is important, the equity is what you're hearing in today's vernacular, that socialism promises. And so that's what they did, was they took critical theory and plopped race right in the middle of it. Instead of being critical theory, where it's just critical of the United States or any non-socialist government, they criticized it specifically on race, because that's what Marxist revolutions require, is you have to have the haves being opposed by the have-nots. Think of workers of the world unite, uniting the proletariat against the bourgeoisie. That was the vernacular of the late 1800s and the early 1900s when Karl Marx and mm-hmm. and their ilk was trying to overtake the United overtake the democracies around the world. So that's what critical race theory did, is it said, let's reevaluate all of the United States history and look at the struggle of power against those who have power and those that do not, but highlighting it all around the issue of race. And the truth is, Chauncey, I served in the Navy, as you mentioned. You haven't had a more colorblind or beautiful specter of God's rainbow when it comes to human skin as what I experienced as a Navy officer in Fort Worth, Texas, in my Navy unit. We had Hispanics, we had blacks, we had Asians, we had whites, and you know what? We didn't care what color you were. We wanted to make sure you were pulling your weight and that when mm-hmm. you went down rank, we were looking out for your kids and your spouse, making sure that you had all the intelligence that you needed to be able to make decisions. You had all the equipment and training that you needed so you could get home safely to your family. Critical race theory is designed to come in and exploit previous issues with race and try to drive a wedge among and between Americans to make them doubt that their form of government, a constitutional republic, is sufficient to weather the challenges and political issues of today's society. That is, in its essence, what critical race theory does. That's what Black Lives Matter, a front organization for Marxism, was designed to do, exploit the very community they purport to protect and defend.
Thank you so much for outlining that so beautifully. And as I am listening to you, I'm reflecting on my childhood in the early 60s and 70s. And as you mentioned, I thought that we have arrived in the 80s, 70s. But looking at today, it's like we regressed a half a century. The hope that I had as a child for America, I don't have that same feeling at the moment for the children that are coming up, my children, my grandchildren, that are coming up later. And I don't know what the answer is. You know, I know that we're all on the front line fighting. And I just pray every day that it will get better. You wanted to comment, Senator?
Well, one of the things that we have to remember, Chauncey, is that all of the media, except for some of the outlets, you know, like with Fox News, with Newsmax, with the Chauncey Show, all of these asymmetrical counterbalance to the predominant media, the media is pushing one narrative. And the narrative they're trying to push is there is race issues, and if you disagree with this, you are a minority. You're by yourself. You're alone. No one agrees with you. This is the predominant narrative. This is not an accident. What we have to remember is this isn't new.
Mm-hmm.
This has happened before. What's new is it's happening right now to our generation. But this is our generation's struggle. We have to face and put down this totalitarian ideology that was designed to split Americans against Americans, to split based on any kind of exploitable potential rift or historical one. In this case, they chose two primary factors to try to destroy harmony in the United States. They fixated on the LGBTQ question, and they fixated on the anti-race question. Both of them are designed to split Americans. Neither of those groups, they have any interest whatsoever in actually helping. They want to exploit them, weaponize the pain, exaggerate the offenses to try to create chaos, confusion, and conflict. And this is a predictable model. All we have to do is back up, look mm-hmm. at historical reference, and see that they've tried this before. The first time... Well, let's back up. The Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx was published in 1848. That was before the Civil War. It wasn't until 1917 that they actually got a taker for a government to actually try communism or Marxism as a system of government. And that happened, everyone knows about the Bolshevik Revolution of November mm-hmm. of 1917. But what people don't remember, because it's not talked about in public schools, it's not talked about in the media, you have to go look for it, is that the exact same playbook attempted takeover that succeeded in Moscow failed in the United States that same year. It was predominantly an agrarian armed uprising where they marched on Moscow and took over, right? And there's a lot of other things that went into that as well. But what people don't realize is that a Marxist agitator from Louisiana came to Oklahoma and convinced Oklahoma farmers in 1917, in August, 3 months before the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, planning to march from Oklahoma to Washington, D.C., to unseat Woodrow Wilson and usher in the communist United States of America. They were going to have a million-man army by the time they arrived there. And they had small arms. They had Winchester rifles. They had shotguns. They had dynamite. They blew up a railroad bridge. This was the time our capital was being built, the one I'm sitting in right now talking to you. It was under construction during this communist revolution. Even Woody Guthrie bought into communist ideology. We have the city of Guthrie is named after Woody Guthrie. He had bumper stickers on his guitar that said, "This is an anti-fascist machine," because the communists back then were pushing communist ideology overtly, outright. They were saying communism is the way to take America to the next level. Communism is the way to usher in utopia. And they would exploit Sound familiar? They would exploit any kind of economic or socioeconomic difference or any industrial accident to try to make a case for communism. So if a factory worker got injured or killed in a factory, communists would take up an offering, bring it to the widow and kids, and provide them with money and say, we're from the Communist Party, and what a tragedy that your father is dead. You know what would keep those factories safe? If all of us owned the factory together. Because we wouldn't have an unsafe factory. If we all owned it, we would make it safe for ourselves. And, oh, do you not have enough to eat? Imagine if we all owned the farmland together, collectively, in common, in the format of communism. And so they were pushing communism outright as an ideology to replace a constitutional republic that we had. And they were exploiting any type of tragedy to make their case. And so that happened in 1917, but whenever the armed rebellion in Seminole, Oklahoma, which is called the Green Corn Rebellion, you can Google and read about it, your audience out there, they blew up a railroad bridge, it caught fire, state police came in, prosecuted the ringleaders, and sent the ringleaders to Leavenworth Prison in Kansas. Busted it up, it failed. Three months later, it succeeded in Moscow. So this is an age-old battle between a constitutional republic based on liberty where we the people control the government, and they're trying to get us to reject that form of government and replace it where the government owns everything, including you, and makes you equal by edict. So this, again, isn't new. That failed. If you fast forward to the 1930s, 15 to 20 years later, the Communist Party realized they couldn't take over the United States in an armed rebellion as they had succeeded in Moscow because the people in the United States weren't ready. So they tried to take over Hollywood in the late 1930s, early 1940s. See if this sounds familiar, Chauncey. They blew up buses, set fire to buildings, set fire to sets, intimidated Hollywood stars, created front organizations with wonderful-sounding names like the International Nurses Union. Sounds great, right? And they recruit Hollywood stars to be the spokesperson. You know, like Black Lives Matter. Great-sounding name, but a Marxist ideology behind it. That was happening because they realized that the United States was not ready for a revolution without additional propaganda, and they were going to use Hollywood to do it. And that's the reason Ronald Reagan went from being a Democrat to a Republican back then, is because he realized Marxist ideology fit nicely within the Democratic Party, and that Marxists intended to destroy the country he loved, and he became a Republican as a result of that.
Thank you so much for your knowledge and insight. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with State Senator Shane Jay.
I want to be your infrastructure governor. Now, I've been involved in infrastructure construction throughout Arizona during the last 17 years. I've traveled more than 500,000 miles across Arizona roads, and I've watched the roads decay over the last 17 years. Rural communities need special attention with infrastructure dollars, and as your infrastructure dollar watchdog, I want to make sure that your tax dollars are spent on the right projects in the right places.
Vote Neely for governor in the August 2nd primary election. Paid for by Neely for Arizona.
Welcome back to the Chauncey Show, where we're always right and never left. We put God first and politics second. We're honored, proud, and blessed to have in the studio State Senator Shane Jett of Oklahoma. Senator, I am extremely humbled by you sharing your knowledge, insight on the history of America, CRT, communism, and Marxism. We only have about 5 or 7 minutes left, but I would like to invite you back on because these issues need to be spoke about further, and I'm hoping that when I have you on my next podcast, America First Patriot Podcast, I normally have callers call in, and I think it's a topic that needs further discussion if we want to eradicate this Marxist communism agenda. Because the way you laid it out historically and what has transpired, not even though that's the reason why President Reagan turned Republican, that was extremely insightful. If we do not record, remember, and teach our kids history, we're going to be doomed to repeat it. I'm a big history guy from when I was a kid. And the tearing down of any statutes, good, bad, or indifferent, erases the history of good or bad, so it cannot be repeated. And I'm totally against removing any type of statutes that reflect history throughout our nation. Because, as you said, they're trying to erase history to create new history and to try to have a totalitarian, communist-controlled society. And that's something that, as a free people, we can't afford, like cancer, to let fester and get out of control. So I thank you for your courage for standing up and sharing information and history with us. That's so important, because a lot of people don't know our history, and that's why we have these children rising up, the indoctrination from these schools, because they've omitted out of public elementary school American history, civic responsibilities. You know, when I was in grammar school, I admired the intellect. And I'm only 11, 12, 13 years old. I admired the intellect of Madison, Hamilton. I call, you know, Jefferson, irrespective of their political positions. The letters that they wrote, the Federalist Papers, I mean, these people were highly intelligent, thoughtful, and religious. And thank God for what they did and how they established the founding of this country. Because how you explain to us why we have the unbalance and the pushback is because basically how our country, our republic, was set up. It was set up for we the people, not we the elite, not we the party, but we the people. I thank you, Senator, for taking time out of your busy schedule today to come on my podcast and educate myself and the American people. And I hope and pray that when you have time again, you'll come back on.
I would love to, Chauncey. How much time do we have?
We have 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes, and I have 2 minutes to close out.
All right. So when you were talking, you mentioned God several times. So I know your audience shares those values and the Christian background, the Judeo-Christian ethic that we have, mm-hmm. that our founder fathers exhibited.
Yes.
I think it was John Adams was the one that said that our constitutional republic is for a moral and religious purpose, or a moral and religious people, and is wholly inadequate in governing anything else. And the Communist Party, when they tried to take over Hollywood in the 1930s and 40s, they failed again. So in the 1950s, their decision was, we can't take over Hollywood. The people aren't ready for it. So because the families are too strong, and we can't take down the United States because the families are the building blocks of this country, so we have to take down the family. And so what they tried to do from that point forward was to emphasize sexual immorality, to speak with disdain anyone who was a square, anyone who mm-hmm. was traditional, and try to exaggerate any kind of sexual conquest and try to sexualize the content from Hollywood. They were trying to destroy families by integrating sex into Hollywood from the 50s. That was their intent. And you can see the progression until today, which culminates in the LGBTQ ideology that is being, is one, exploiting Americans who are in crises, but also leveraging the progress made by communist ideologues who realize the only way to take down the United States is take down the American family. But that gives us to the real crux of what is at stake here, because this conflict goes beyond America versus the Soviet Union, or today America versus the Communist Chinese Party, or the Marxist ideology that was printed in 1848 by Karl Marx. Go to the origin of Karl Marx's ideology, and you'll see the conflict between the creator of this planet and Satan himself, because that's really what this is about.
Amen.
If you look at, want to see the basis for the American form of government, look at the story of the sons of Zebedee when their mother came before Jesus and said, when you come to your kingdom, I want John to sit on your one side and James to sit on your other. I'm asking as their mother. I want them to rule at your left and your right. And Christ looked at her and said, it is the Gentiles or the pagans or the non-Christians that lord it over one another. But if you want to be great in my kingdom, you have to be a servant of all. You have to serve. And that is the essence of our constitutional republic. Whenever Benjamin Franklin came out of Independence Hall and the woman asked him, what have you wrought or what have you created? He said, a republic, ma'am, if you can keep it. And so embedded in our republic is the ability of each citizen's free will to vote to give away their essential freedoms and liberty. That's the reason why Marxists are making a push to our children in our public schools and our universities to try to get them to reject our constitutional republic and embrace a system whereby the government forces you to be equal. Whether it's gender equality, whether it's gender ideology equality, or equality of the color of your skin. It is designed to create a lie, to create conflict. It is designed by the same author who came to kill, steal, and destroy. That is what is at stake here. Our form of government is designed so that we, the people, can live free, follow the dictates of our conscience as intended by our Creator. And the any system of government that is designed to control or prevent you from living out your destiny as God ordained is a system from the other form of government. It is a satanic system.
Amen.
So this is, since I know your audience share a lot of your Judeo-Christian background, what we have to realize is it's beyond a political struggle. It's an ideological struggle designed to destroy this country because our system of freedom repudiates the system of the world that is designed to control people and put them in bondage.
Senator, thank you so much. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I can't thank you enough for the insight, the history lesson that is so important that so many Americans need to hear, and I welcome you back because we need to further this conversation and keep talking about what is going on spiritually and around the world in this nation if we're going to save it. I thank you for your courage to stand up and serve God and stand up for what is right. Thank you. And God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Chauncey. It was an honor to be on your show.
This is the Chauncey Show, where we're always right and never left. We put God first and politics second. I'm your Patriot host, Chauncey Brown. We were proud, honored, and blessed to have in the studio Senator, State Senator Shane Jett from Oklahoma. Insightful and educational conversation on where we are as a nation, where we are as a people, and where we are as a republic. We're here every Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6 to 7. I want to thank all of our followers for tuning in. For those that would like to visit the Senator's website, please go to the bio section, description section, for the Chauncey Show, and the highlight is for Senator Jett's website. I am very, very thankful and humble. It was so educational today. It was very impactful, the breakdown on how the senator laid it out. We're going to have him back on because what he shares is very important for us to work on saving our nation. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I want to thank all of my listeners for tuning in. God bless you all, and as always, keep the faith. Good night now.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.